alien, a craft flew to the planet L6046. It used to be a cradle of civilization, but now it was a special prison for all kinds of cruel criminals. As usual, the craft came to check the situation here. Unexpectedly, the craft crashed when it was landing. The crew came out of it. Then they were shocked to see many strange creatures creeping or crawling on the ground like huge crickets. They had black crests and they crowed like roosters. They were crude aliens. The huge aliens came up to the crew. Within a few minutes, quite a few people were crippled. Things became a crisis. A creative woman played a crucial role. She climbed into a crane. Then she drove it towards the aliens. She acquired the craft from her father. The crane crushed the alien successfully. The remaining people survived. Half an hour later, another craft came to rescue them. The critical period was over. One of the survivors was a critic. He wrote an impressive criticism, but the government had its own criteria. It criticized the critic and crossed out his criticism. The new king would be crowned in a month. To avoid a riot, it was reasonable to do that.
Eagles do not breed doves. A thief had a son who had lovely curls. Even he himself was a thief. He wanted to cultivate his son into a person of culture, but children always took their cue from their parents. The boy disliked the current curriculum. Something about currency. In fact, he disliked all of the curricula. Recently, he always cut in when the teacher talked. That's his customary shortcoming. So the school cut off his name from the students' roster. The boy went home by cycle. At first, he sat on a cushion, cursing the school. Suddenly, he had great curiosity to find out what's in the cupboard. To cut down the danger, such as electrical current, he cut off the electric source first. The boy curved the lock and then opened the cupboard. It's a cubic crystal inside of it. On cue, the father felt something. He cut short his work, put down the cylinder in his hand, then he cut across a field to go home. The moment the boy touched the crystal, he heard his father's steps. The cunning boy took out a cucumber and began to eat it. Facing his father, he said, "I'm hungry." The father was puzzled, but still wanted to punish him. "No matter what tricks you play, I will cut back your allowance."
Never say die. Mr. Carter ran a dairy, but he was deeply in debt during the past decade. He owed a dealer a great deal of money. It was a question they debated all the time. According to the data up to date, the amount of the debt was $250,000. The dealer's voice was deafening. "Tomorrow is the deadline. If you can't pay off the debts, I will explode your dam." Mr. Carter had no way to deal with it. The next dawn, the weather was cold and damp. He drank some deadly poison and soon was in danger. His daring daughter dashed into his bedroom. Fortunately, the poison was out of date. Mr. Carter opened his eyes. The daylight dazzled his eyes. Then he saw his darling daughter. The daughter said to her father, "Dad, you still have me to date. Don't give up, please. Tomorrow will be a new day."
Facing the national calamity. The A Empire declined as a world power. It was decomposing into many small local authorities. Last year, the people's earnings decreased 20% because of the financial deficit. Many children in the poor area had a calcium deficiency. From the facts, we deduced that the empire was decaying. Who caused it? The people needed a definite answer. Then they found out that the emperor deceived them. His deceit was disgusting. He lived in decent conditions. His hall was decorated with deer horns, but he had never had decided opinions of his own. That was his fatal defect. The power of an emperor was defined by law, not by himself. A minister stepped forward boldly. He deemed it his duty to help his people. He dedicated his life to his people. So he made a declaration of war against the emperor. The night deepened. The minister declined to drink with others. He stood on the deck. The waves swept over the deck. Tomorrow there would be a decisive battle. The deficiency of the battle plan was clear, but it did succeed in the end. After the war, the minister reformed the Dewey Decimal System into the decimal system, which improved the currency of money. The people defined him as a wonderful minister.
Return to the Fold. The story depicted a man in a democratic city. The density of population in that city was very high, and from time to time, people would demonstrate in the street. Roger's leg was deformed by an accident. Because of sadness, Roger degenerated deliberately. He took delight in enjoyment. He loved delicious food and delicate women. He defied the moral standards. He went on degenerating until one of his girlfriends died. Roger was seen being with her before she died. A delegation came to investigate this case. Roger repeated denials of the charges against him. He said, "We went to the train station. After I deposited the case in the left luggage office, she was gone with the $50 deposit. Lucky the delegation caught the real criminal. The next day they would leave, but it rained heavily. A thick deposition of mud covered the field. It was difficult to cross the dense forest. The postal delivery was late that day and the departure was delayed until next week. Roger demonstrated to them how to drive a new kind of automobile. The usefulness of the automobile in the forest had been clearly demonstrated. Before they departed, the leader of the delegation said to Roger, 'Find a job and end your dependence on your girlfriends.' Soon Roger made a deliberate action. That is, he worked as a dentist, and his smile denoted his real enjoyment from work."
Adventure in the Desert. The sun descended behind the sand hills. The beauty of the sunset was beyond description, but no one noticed that. These travelers had expected it was a desirable travel, but now they lost their way in the desolate desert. The deputy of these travelers was dispatched to take the news to the travel agency, but he escaped alone. He felt guilty at deserting his clients, but still he did that. The others despised his deeds. Destiny was sometimes cruel. The sandstorm came. The destructive force of the storm was huge. The people became desperate in their attempt to find a way out. The thought of dying in the desert depressed them and nearly deprived them of all courage. All of them gave up the attempt in despair. Just then, a man with several camels appeared. Despite trucks, the camel is still man's best friend. The man designated his job was to rescue them. He was a descendant of a Spanish soldier. His name derived from his grandfather. The man detached a water bag from the baggage, then gave it to them. Next, he led them to the safe place. The descent down the sandhill took 2 hours, but eventually they arrived at their destination. The man deserved their thanks for his bravery. The survivors ate a lot of desserts. Then they told the other curious travelers about their adventure in the desert in details.
A possessed king. Recently, the king of a kingdom acted as a dictator. He deviated from the constitution. If he differed from his minister, he would kill him. One by one, 4 ministers died off. There was a rumor saying the king was possessed by devils. A detective determined to find out what's wrong with the king. His devotion to the king was as pure as dew. He devised a new type of detector that was an electronic device. He tried various devices to get into the palace. Then he installed a detector into the king's room. The first day, the king dictated a letter to his secretary in dialect. The second day, a doctor came to see the king. He gave the king a diagram of diagnosis. He said that weight was deteriorating the king's health, and his therapy couldn't be detained any longer. He suggested the king go on a diet to reduce some weight. Then on the third night, a devil did come to visit the king. The flame in the fireplace burned unsteadily and then died out. The devil took out a huge diamond while saying to the king, "Measure the diameter of it, how big it is. If you listen to me, it's yours." The devil's shadow died down, but the detective still was shocked by everything. He needed to devise a powerful device to detain this devil next time.
UFO. The digest of the novel included the most exciting scenes. Several witnesses saw a UFO. It looked like a huge disc. The dimension of the UFO was 6 feet high, 15 feet in diameter. It gave off diffused light. The light was too dim for them to see it clearly, so they touched it, and it diminished. Suddenly, the stones on the ground flew about in every direction. One of the witnesses was disabled in this disaster. The UFO took off and soon disappeared in the sky. The police was diplomatic. They found Professor Huggins with the help of the directory. Professor Huggins was diligent enough to obtain a diploma in space research. Now he was the director of a famous scientific group. On the day they visited him, Professor Huggins was dining. He was dipping the chicken in the butter. The rich food didn't digest easily. The police asked him what differentiated the UFO from the airplane. He answered humorously, "The UFO has diplomatic immunity." The police said his help would certainly make a difference in this affair. Professor Huggins cut off their diffused speech and agreed to help them. The news diffused rapidly around the country. The bad thing was newspaper accounts of the affair disagreed. This placed Professor Huggins in something of a dilemma. To maintain his dignity, he had to do his work under disadvantage, so he kept on working with a digital computer day and night.
A deserved punishment. The war field was in dreadful disorder. Several big chimneys discharged smoke, but the soldiers displayed perfect discipline under the fire of the enemy. A soldier, Howard, was asked to send a dispatch to the front line, but he said he lost it. His expression disclosed the truth. The captain saw through his disguise. He discerned that Howard was lying. The captain dismissed the other soldiers, then cried at Howard, "Can you discriminate good conduct from bad? Nothing displeased me more than your lie. Your behavior disgusted everybody. You are a dishonor to our regiment. Our regiment was disgraced by your conduct. I have known how to dispose of you. You are dismissed by way of punishment. Bob will displace you. Don't dispute with me." The captain's words discouraged Howard, and the news of being dismissed dismayed him. He felt the army had discarded him, though Howard thought he should not be discriminated against. He knew he was deserving. Some other soldiers surrounded to watch. The captain dispersed them. Howard had to go home and then worked at a store selling merchandise at a 20% discount. He was disposed of for discharging the cargo.
An eccentric chemist. A chemist lived in a mountainous district. From his window, a church could be seen in the distance. The diversion of a stream changed the land. There were many beautiful flowers here. The chemist had something to do with the company. He worked for a research division of it. He distinguished himself as a great chemist. He was so crazy about diverse experiments that he disregarded his wife's feelings, which caused her great distress. She was dissatisfied with his apathy. They had quite distinct ideas from each other, and at last they divorced. Their properties had been justly distributed. It's a fair division of everything. The divorce didn't disturb the chemist too much. Marriage was a thing he could do without. In fact, he thought this sort of thing should be done away with. As for his former wife, She would have nothing more to do with him. One day, the chemist dissolved some material in hot water. He tried to obtain another material by distillation. There was some distinction between these two materials. Suddenly, he heard a cry, "Help!" The cry distracted him from his work. "It's a boy in the ditch." The chemist dived into the ditch. Even though he felt dizzy, he did rescue the drowning child. But the newspaper distorted the facts, saying he pushed the boy down. The chemist wasn't angry at all. He had more interest in his experiment than the news.
The Donkey and the Dove. Last week we saw a documentary about two domestic animals. It seemed to be a farce, and it made us doubled up with laughter. A donkey and a dove lived in a small dormitory. The donkey liked eating hot dogs, and the dove liked playing with her doll. Somebody donated a black dress with white dots to the doll. They had faith in different doctrines, so they had a good many domestic troubles. From the very beginning, their living together was doomed to failure. The dove was arbitrary. She always wanted to dominate others. The dome was her domain, and she didn't allow others to get close to it. The worst thing was, she wagged her tongue day and night. But she met her doom after she made the donkey angry. The donkey disliked the dove. There was no doubt about that. One day, the house next door caught fire. It was dangerous to stay at the doorway. Both of them escaped out of doors. Then the donkey took the dove down to the dock to see the ships. On the way, he persuaded her to take one dose of some kind of medicine. He's doubtful about whether he should do it. The dove took it and could speak no more than three words at a time. It was really magic medicine.
Inspiration from a dream. Several good actors and actresses dropped out of this theater. What the remaining ones did was to dress up to display themselves on the stage. So the audiences for the play had recently dropped off. A dramatist was asked to amend the play. He had painfully drawn up a first draft. Its drawback was obvious, so he locked it in a drawer. The boss dropped by him. They had a drastic dispute over the draft. After the boss left, the dramatist had a dozen buns for supper. Then he began to doze off. Suddenly, he heard the drip of the water. Then he was surprised to find himself standing on a boat. The boat drifted helplessly along the drain until some people saw him. They helped him up, but the boat changed into a dragon all at once. The dramatist dreaded it so much that he dared not to see it. The others discussed draining the water first, and then they could drag it out of the drain. The dramatist sneaked away. He got on a train. The train drew in at 9 p.m. When he opened the door of his house, he saw the dragon smiling at him. The dramatist woke up with great fear. The drastic dream inspired him a lot. He drew on all his talents to write an excellent play.
A possibility of the future. It is time in the future, but the dynamic dynasty has gone. The weather becomes protein due to the pollution's influence of long duration. Sometimes some crops died during the drought. Sometimes some animals were drowned by the heavy rainfall. Lots of garbage is dumped on the dump. People dwell in the houses made of durable material. They change their dwellings from time to time. Human beings are not smart anymore. Most of the people become dull and dumb. Dynamical robots control them. The human beings were forced to dye their hair with different colors. They never dwell on any problems. They only go on duty at 8 a.m. and come off duty at 8 p.m. every day. At dusk, a huge drum begins to beat. Everyone begins to eat supper. A few smart people feel dubious about how to help others. One of them suggests duplicating the clever people. but it's certain that the suggestion is dubious. The above-mentioned story hasn't come true yet, but it may be...
An earthquake. In a country of the Middle East, there was a man named Eagle. His high earnings came from his earthenware factory. He learned some economics to improve his management. In a word, he lived a life of ease. But something happened. It was reported that there would be an eclipse on Easter Day. It did appear, and an earthquake followed. No one had realized what on earth was going on. Eagle fell off the edge of the ground crack. Luckily enough, he was saved. His ankle was hurt. He plastered it with some medicine, and the medicine took effect quickly. The next day, an earnest editor wrote an editorial. He appealed to everyone to help each other. The editorial was so popular that it had entered the 7th edition. Eagle was very economical, but the editor's words echoed in his ears. He donated much edible food to starving people. The country's economy was unstable earthquake. When the time was ripe, a new economic policy would be put into effect. The new one would not go into effect until the 1st of March. To carry the policy into effect, a lot of money was needed. In Eagle's opinion, the new one and the old one, in effect, were identical. Having gone through the earthquake, he cared for nature more than before, so he started to study ecology.
Mr. Marshall and his new electronic device. Mr. Marshall was an electrician with elegant manners. He mastered electrical engineering. Also, he knew some elementary exercises for the piano. Mr. Marshall was efficient at his job. His labor efficiency was very high, so he was one of the elite in the electronics field. Either his boss or his colleagues agreed on this. Today, his boss would come to check his work. The experiment building was at an elevation of 1,000 meters. The boss took the elevator to the 18th floor. Mr. Marshall had prepared an elaborate report on a new electronic device. He took his elbows off the desk and showed his boss the design. Then he elevated his voice slightly. This kind of metal is a special element. If we electrify the electronic device, the electric current will cause the electrons to eject quickly. The new process can eliminate the need for checking the products by hand, and we don't need elastic rubber anymore. Mr. Marshall's eloquent words impressed his boss very much. He asked, "When could the new system become effective? Do it quickly, or else we will miss the electronics exposition next month." "No problem," Mr. Marshall answered. Finally, his efforts were rewarded with success.
Sword action. New problems emerge everywhere every day. A famous scientist and his family just immigrated from Italy to this empire. But 2 days ago, the scientist's son encountered several kidnappers when he was reading an encyclopedia. They kidnapped him. The boy's life was endangered. This put the embassy in a very embarrassing position. The emperor made a speech with emotion. He encouraged the family to cheer up. The police embarked on this case. They made a plan called Sword Action. Their plan embraced all aspects of the rescue. The emphasis of the plan was to save the boy. The team leader emphasized the importance of the rescue. Several witnesses said a ship embarked the suspects at the North Point. This clue enabled the police to follow the tracks of the kidnappers. Every plainclothesman carried a pistol for use in an emergency. The kidnappers contacted the scientist by emitting the radio signals. The scientist kept in touch with the emission. At the same time, the police enclosed the ship with fishnet. The ship stopped. The police caught the employees and the employer of the ship. Then several empirical policemen began to search the kidnappers and the boy. They embodied their courage and brightness. After the fierce fighting, the boy was saved safely. The scientist saw his son again. They embraced each other with tears.
A happy engagement. When Philip was very young, he was enlightened on engineering. He enrolled at a famous university. After the graduation, he became an engineer at a big enterprise. Just like the police enforced the law seriously, Philip worked very hard. He engaged in his work and he enjoyed himself very much. The more he worked, the more energetic he was. Philip was a man of great enterprise. He invented a new kind of engine. The invention enriched him and enhanced his reputation. One day, Philip met a lovely girl. He watched her with enormous interest. Then he inquired everything about her. After that, Philip endeavored to please his beloved lady. He entertained her with music and cookies at home. He showed his remarkable endurance throughout the courtship. He could not endure a day without seeing her, but he could not ensure that the girl could be moved. The girl inquired whether he really loved her. She enforced herself not to think of him, but she could not. Now I am glad to tell you that the story has a happy ending. Philip got engaged to the girl when traveling last winter. Their engagement was announced in the papers, and they plan to enlarge their engagement photograph.
A noble-minded teacher. Mr. Louis was a geography professor. His teaching method marked a new epoch in education. His students welcomed him with enthusiasm. They often waited for him at the entrance of school. His best essay entitled him to win a national prize. Also, he compiled a dictionary that had over 10,000 entries. He entitled the dictionary, Our Environment. Many people envied his good fortune, but he did believe in equality of opportunity. In fact, Mr. Louis's most essential quality was kindness. He was in entire agreement with an opinion, that is, the equation of wealth with happiness could be dangerous. They were not equivalents, so he was always enthusiastic about helping others. Last summer, Mr. Louis led his students to inspect a mountain at the equator. They prepared enough food. Though it is the computer era, food is essential to life. Also, they put some medicines against an influenza epidemic in an envelope. The entry to the mountain was behind lush trees. They erected their tents there. It was an erroneous choice. They ignored the erosion of the mountain by the volcanic ash. The mountain was different in essence with normal mountains. It was a volcano. The second morning, the volcanic erupted suddenly. To save one student, Mr. Louis sacrificed his life. The students never could erase the episode from their memories.